Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry. Choosing a college is a really big decision. If you're seeking God's perfect plan for your future, or if you're passionate about serving Him in the ministry, we invite you to find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu. West Coast Baptist College is committed to training laborers for His harvest.
This world is filled with quick fix solutions that don't last and frankly don't work. We're all facing difficult questions and circumstances beyond our control. Are you up against the wall? Well, Jesus can make the difference. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to find out how with Dr. Paul Chappell. Diets to self-help books to relationships and career decisions to family issues, every human being is looking for something that will make a difference, looking for solutions to questions that are bigger than us. Does this describe you? I know it describes me at times. Well, next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study the difference that Jesus makes, because we really do believe, the Bible is clear, Jesus Christ is really the difference that every one of us is longing for in our hearts. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series, The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're going to discover that Jesus is the solution that truly does make a difference for all of eternity. Before we join today's message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. This is the best way to interface with us at Daily in the Word and let us know that you're listening. Click on the Contact Us button, jot us a quick email, and let us know that our program is touching your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us and contributing to our airtime support? Every dollar you invest into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for the costs of airtime that we might continue teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God all across the country. On the website, you'll find a host of other resources and information, locations where Pastor Chappell will be speaking in the coming months, also linked to the Alaska cruise information and so many other resources. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But first, we're turning in our Bibles to John chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, as we study the purpose of Christ makes a difference. Here's Paul Chappell.
Peter becomes distant and disconnected. In fact, in Mark 14, 54, the Bible says, "And Peter followed him afar off." You see, after this incident in the garden, here we see Peter following now from a distance. Proverbs 13, 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And certainly, Peter was following, but now he was not following with the Lord's crowd. He was with another crowd. I wonder today, are you following Jesus from afar? You say, "Oh, I'm here at church, Pastor, and that's good, but where's your heart?" You see, Peter could have rationalized. His thoughts could have been something like this. "You know, I tried to defend the Lord. I mean, I took my sword. I did all that I could, but got no appreciation for it. I tried to stand up. None of the other wimps were standing up. I stood up. And all Jesus did was heal Malchus' ear." You know, I've heard Christians like that. "Why, I went to that church and I was faithful and I mean, I did all kinds of stuff and I even gave money and nobody seemed to appreciate what I did and it just seems like nobody cares. And I mean, I asked a question and nobody seemed to think it was a very good question and I sang very loud in the congregation and no one ever asked me to join the choir." I mean, I don't know what was going on in Peter's heart entirely, but whatever it was, how many of you see scripturally, whatever it was, he started to follow from afar, didn't he? You be careful about those little nonsensical things that can come into your heart, planted there by Satan, that cause you to get distancing from the Lord. Peter became distant. And then secondly, Peter behaved differently. Listen to me. You work in a secular field. God has placed you there. Let me challenge you. There's nothing wrong with working there, but don't allow that environment to affect your behavior. You go to a public school or public college. Don't allow that environment to dictate to you your walk. And notice what happens to Peter as he gets a little distance. The Bible says in verse 18, and the servants of the officer stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. Notice this, and Peter stood with them. Notice his personal associations. We see him standing with them. And I want you to mark this down. Whenever you have less time for God, for God's house, for God's word, whenever you're just kind of too busy to be in your Sunday school class or whatever, you will always be with another crowd somewhere. And the distancing leads to the differencing in your behavior. It's expressed sometimes with attitudes or dress or different friends. But here we see the man who would never deny Jesus warming his hands with those who hated Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:33 is an interesting verse. It's in your notes. It says this, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." The word communication speaks of friendships, relationships. Be not deceived. The wrong relationships will corrupt good habits. And right friends are going to encourage right habits. They're going to say things like, "Have you had your devotions this week? Or did you get anything good from it? Or have you learned anything lately in church? Or wasn't that a good Sunday school lesson? Or I particularly like this verse. Or I'm praying for you and your family. Or I know you're going through a tough time. And boy, if I can help you, let me know." A good friend encourages good habits. Amen? Wrong friends encourage wrong habits. And Peter gets distanced from the Lord, and now he's warming his hands with the wrong crowd. He's going the wrong way. Peter is backsliding. Peter is falling back. Some of you who've been saved a while might remember this one from Sunday school, Psalm 1:1. "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now listen, friend, if you hang out with the scornful, it's going to affect your spirit. Whether it's a wicked guy at work, or whether it's a backslidden Christian, or whether it's on the internet, or wherever it might be, scornfulness always distances us from the Lord. Peter was a man who distanced himself from the Lord. His personal associations are clear. Notice his public denial. He says there in verse 17, "I am not." I mean, they say to him, "Aren't you one of those followers of Jesus?" "I am not." And finally, in verse 27, it says, "Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew." And in Luke chapter 22 and verse 60, the Bible describes Peter as Jesus now is walking and going for his time of judgment. And the Bible says that Peter looked and Jesus looked and saw the eyes of Peter. I wonder what that must have felt like, the denier, the betrayer, looking in the eyes of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, friend. I don't think that was a very good feeling for Peter. And all of us should be living our lives with this thought. One day I will see Jesus face to face. D.L. Moody said, "When a man thinks he has got a good deal of strength and is self-confident, you may look for his downfall. It may be years before it comes to light, but it has already commenced." You see, backsliders many times say, "I don't care. I don't miss church. I don't miss those hypocrites." Backsliders may act like it's no big deal. I'm going to tell you something. When Peter saw Jesus face to face, it was a big deal. He felt it. And if you're truly born again and you're not right with the Lord, you may put a mask on like it doesn't matter, but you'll feel that every single time. Jesus was betrayed by an unbeliever. Jesus was denied by a believer. But notice finally, his purpose kept him going when he was rejected. Jesus was betrayed, Jesus was denied, Jesus was rejected. Now, one of the things that amazes me is this first thought. He was rejected by the religious leaders, the ones who were supposed to be teaching everybody else to look out for the Messiah. They were the ones who rejected him. Isn't it ironic that many Bible truths today are rejected by religious leaders? Many times, the more sound and fundamental one's message, the majority of the criticism comes not from unsaved people. They expect us to believe the Bible. It comes from religious circles. Look at that, if you would. Chapter 18, verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his... What does that next word say? What does it say? Now, we live in an era that says doctrine doesn't matter. It mattered so much to Jesus that he died for it, friends. Someone says, well, doctrine divides. Yes, it does. But the doctrine at hand was the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. And they questioned his doctrine. And may I say, they still question this doctrine of which we speak this morning. Many religions question the veracity of the Bible, the validity of the family, the deity of Jesus Christ. The great cornerstones of our faith are questioned and ridiculed daily at the Antelope Valley College and at other secular colleges and at liberal churches. The truth of God is questioned every single day. And here we see they question the doctrine. The Bible says in John 7:26, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that he is the very Christ? Notice verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. Now, the specific doctrine they hated was that doctrine that he had come from the Father, that he was God in the flesh, and that he had come to save the world from their sin. They hated that teaching concerning his deity. They questioned his doctrine, and secondly, they refused his teaching. The religious crowd, as Jesus went on the road to Calvary, absolutely refused what he had to say. In verse number 20, he says, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. Notice this. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. One of the officers that stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. Now I think about this. If there were ever such a thing as wicked hands, and some have described the hands of the abortion doctor, and some have described the hands of those persecutors during the time of the Holocaust, and certainly those are wicked hands shedding blood of innocent life, but I think of the hands that struck the face of God, the hands that placed the crown of thorns upon his brow, in the hands that put the nails through the hands of our Savior, and the hands that thrust the spear into his side. And if there were ever wicked hands, these were wicked hands, unbelieving and hateful hands. I've been thinking of this man, this officer, all week long. I've been thinking of a man who would hear the words of Jesus and strike at the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many have that attitude today. Peter spoke of it in Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Oh, he was rejected by the religious leaders. Notice, secondly, he was rejected by the political leaders. Verse 28. The Bible says, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat of the Passover. Interesting. I don't know if you caught this, but let's take a look at that verse right there. The Bible is teaching us concerning the heart of these religious people. First, they go to the high priest, Caiaphas. Now, they're going to bring Jesus to Pilate. They want to see some Roman judgment on this Jesus Christ. But the religious leaders don't go into the judgment hall of Pilate because it's the Passover. And the Bible says in verse 28, they don't want to defile themselves, for their religion forbade them to be defiled by being present in a pagan building built by the Romans. Unless they be defiled, they stayed outside the building. What an amazing thought. The Bible is clear that these hypocritical leaders were concerned about the Passover, watch this, while they crucified the Passover lamb. Folks, you talk about missing the point. Religion never gets to the point. The point is Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. With all their religion, they were missing the point. Well, they come to Pilate. Notice, if you would, Pilate's reluctance. Pilate says in verse 29, he went out to them, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would have delivered him up unto thee. We would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." Pilate throughout this ordeal was reluctant. And perhaps that was because of his religion. After all, Pilate was a political man. He was politically correct. He had the religion that many leaders have today. The religion of Pilate is the religion of many leaders in Washington this morning. And that religion can be found, if you would notice it there, in verse number 38. The Bible says, "Pilate saith unto him, What is truth?" Would you say that with me, please? What some might call it agnosticism. That is, well, we know there's a God out there, we just don't know where he is or who he is. Some might call it pluralism. That is to say, there's truth in all the religions, but no one religion is the truth. And Pontius Pilate, the politically correct leader of the day, said, "What is truth?" "I believe in Jesus," Pilate could have said. "I believe in the gods of Ephesus. I believe in the god of Diana. I believe there's merit there. There's merit here. I can become all things to all men." And by the way, that "what is truth" pluralistic thought will never save your soul from hell. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. There is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby ye must be saved. That name is Jesus. Pontius Pilate says, "What is truth?" And truth was standing before him, for Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me." Joel Bell said, "There is a perverse assumption now dominant among evangelicals that feelings, attitudes, and relationships are all more important than truth. Unity is a higher priority than orthodoxy. Division, even for truth's sake, becomes the most offensive of heresies." In other words, everyone says, "Can't we just all get along? Can't all the religions get along? What is truth? I mean, let's just not worry too much about truth." My friend, Jesus is the truth. But he was rejected by the religious leaders. He was rejected by the political leaders. And finally, he was rejected by the people. Verse 40. "Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." You know the story. It was the custom at this time of year that one person could be released. One criminal could be released. And Pilate thought, surely Jesus Christ, who had done nothing, would be the one that the crowd would release. But they said, "Give us Barabbas! Crucify this Jesus!" And they cried it out, cried it over and again, "Give us Barabbas! Crucify Jesus!" Jesus was too narrow-minded. Jesus was too exclusive. Jesus said things they did not want to hear. Acts chapter 3 and verse 13, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." They demanded that Barabbas be released and that Jesus be crucified. And what did Jesus do? He could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me away. But what did Jesus do when he was rejected, when he was denied? What did Jesus do when he was betrayed? Jesus followed his purpose to fulfill the Father's will and to shed his blood for you and for me. He stayed on his purpose, and his purpose made the difference. Someone says, well, why Jesus? I mean, why not Mohammed or Moses or Buddha or Joseph Smith? What so uniquely qualifies Jesus? My friend, as the perfectly sinless Son of God who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, he not only died, but 3 days later, he, unlike any others, rose again. Why Jesus? Because he is the risen Savior. And the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, it may not be popular. You may be denied, rejected, and turned away. But I challenge you, my friend, stay on your purpose.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We are studying a series entitled The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're discovering that Jesus is not a quick fix or a self-help solution. He is the eternal truth. He is the God-man that wants to come into your life and have a personal relationship with you. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to make that decision right now. You, wherever you are, you could bow your head and heart and invite him into your life as your personal Savior. He will come in and save you, and it is the greatest decision you could ever make. We would love to know if you have trusted Christ as a result of listening to Daily in the Word. Would you take a moment and write to us or call us or contact us via the website? Let us send you a Bible. Let us help you grow in your Christian faith. Before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a word of personal greeting.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I wanted to say it's a blessing to journey through the Word of God with you on a daily basis here on Daily in the Word. I want to encourage you to take a moment today and visit dailyintheword.org. When you get to dailyintheword.org, there will be two opportunities for you to communicate with us. First of all, you can click the button that simply says Contact Us. One of my favorite parts of the day is when I hear from the listeners of Daily in the Word. Your email will be a tremendous source of encouragement to us, and let us know how we're reaching out and touching your life with the Word of God. There's another tab there on the website that says Donate. We would greatly appreciate your gift as we continue spreading the gospel and the Word of God across more than 400 stations throughout all of America. If you have been encouraged or blessed by one of the recent messages, we'd love to hear from you. Just visit dailyintheword.org and let us know how God is working in your life.
The easiest way to contact us here at Daily in the Word is to visit dailyintheword.org and simply click on the button that says Contact Us. You can send us an email, give us information about yourself, and let us know that our program is ministering to you. We rejoice greatly every time we hear from our listeners, and we know that our program is touching your life. While you're on the website, I encourage you to take a moment and explore. You'll find a lot of resources to help you grow in your Christian life. If you enjoyed today's message, you could hear it again, you could download it, you could give it to a friend and refer those you love. You could also subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and other podcasts from our ministry. But the Daily in the Word podcast will download this program to your iPod or computer or your portable player at your convenience. You can listen to it anytime on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word if perhaps this program is not broadcast in their area. A lot of other information can be found on the site. One thing I would like to ask you to do in specific, and that is to prayerfully consider contributing and supporting the ministry of Daily in the Word, even on a regular monthly basis. Regardless of the size of your gift to Daily in the Word, your gift will be invested into the airtime costs of this program all across the country. We love to minister, we love to teach and preach the Word of God, but it's listeners like you who faithfully contribute and help us accomplish this mission that really make it possible. If you'd like to be a part of our ministry, you can click on the donate button when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.